One thing that never seems to change about the Christmas season is the attempt to maintain your cherished holiday traditions. Coming up today on Travel with Rick Steves, we hear how the U.S. military tries to provide the comforts of an American Christmas for the servicemen and women stationed in a war zone like Afghanistan. And we'll check in with friends in the snowy Alps and hear how they observe the season in Switzerland and Austria. Later in the hour, we'll also have fun delving into the French tradition of serving a sampler plate of artisan cheese. Let's start out looking at the world through the lens of BBC foreign correspondent Nick Bryant. He's written a witty memoir about his decades up close with the world's breaking news. It's called Confessions from Correspondent Land. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Rick, it's my pleasure.
First of all, you work for the BBC. Give us a brief rundown on where you've worked as a correspondent.
Well, my first foreign assignment was actually one of the most important I ever covered. It was covering the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin, a very consequential story. I was a novice at the time. It was my second day on the job at the BBC. And because it was a Saturday night, and I think because they couldn't reach anybody else, these are the days before mobile phones, it was me. The novice who ended up on that plane to Jerusalem. And my first permanent assignment was actually in Washington. I was sent over to cover the Monica Lewinsky scandal involving Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky. They thought I was going to be here a few months. They said, stay in Washington until Bill Clinton is out of trouble. Well, 5 years later, I was still in America.
You've also been in Kashmir, Afghanistan, Rwanda.
Yeah, I covered America until 9/11 and the years after it and the lead up to the war in Iraq. And then I decided I wanted to take a sort of look at the sharper end of the Bush administration's war on terror. So I went and based myself in South Asia. I was based in Delhi, but that was our hub bureau for covering countries like Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then I met a very beautiful Australian, and I ended up in Sydney because I went over there to get married to her. And now I'm back in America. I'm the New York correspondent and the UN correspondent. So it's a kind of bringing together two strands of my sort of foreign correspondent life, international affairs and my love of America.
So this book, Confessions from Correspondent Land, talks about the dangers and delights of life as a foreign correspondent. So briefly, Nick, what are the dangers and what are the delights?
Well, the dangers are obviously going to conflict zones around the world. I mean, I've never been an adrenaline junkie. I think some of my colleagues are. They enjoy being in these dangerous situations because they get a thrill out of it. I was never quite like that. I tended to go to dangerous places because often they were the most interesting places. That was especially true of Afghanistan and certainly the places that we tried to reach on the border, say, with Waziristan and Pakistan were very dangerous, but they're also very interesting, and that's why we went there. We weren't thrill seekers. We were trying to find out what was happening in the difficult parts of the country. Some of the delights, well, you get a front row seat on history. It's the biggest cliche in our industry, but it's true. You get to see history unfold. In Afghanistan, for instance, I saw the first ever presidential election. The remarkable sight of women in their burqas lined up outside the polling stations in Kabul. You get to see things like that, and it's a great privileged position, and that is one of the delights.
You call Pakistan the most impenetrable country you've ever covered. How is Pakistan impenetrable?
Pakistan as a country tends to play a double game. When it complains, for instance, of drones attacks in its territory by the Americans, it does so publicly, but privately we know that often Pakistan is quite happy for America to take out some of the militant leaders in areas which its military finds hard to reach. And I always sense that across the board, it was always difficult to divine the true motivations of its leaders, its politicians, even its cricketers, its cricket team, the great national sport of Pakistan. Their cricketers are often being accused of corruption, taking bribes, not playing to win, that kind of thing. And in a way, the country is a little bit like that. You can never quite figure out precisely what's going on. And the classic case of that, of course, was the killing of Osama bin Laden so close to a Pakistan military academy, which obviously raised the question, how on earth could the Pakistanis not known of the presence of bin Laden so close to a military academy and indeed so close to the capital, Islamabad?
Also in your book, you say that North Ireland is, you call it a preschool for war correspondents. What is it about your time in North Ireland that let you draw that conclusion?
Northern Ireland, when I was growing up and when I first started at the BBC, was still a conflict zone. There hadn't been that landmark 1998 agreement, the Good Friday Agreement, which really brought peace, or certainly a semblance of peace, to that corner, that troubled corner of our country. And for generations, really, ever since the Troubles first erupted in the 1960s, young reporters who were sort of groomed really for sort of wars overseas were often sent to Northern Ireland because there was a kind of war unfolding in our own country, in our own backyard. So I went there at a remarkable time, really, this transition between the Troubles and the peace. And I covered the peace process. I was there on the night of the Good Friday Agreement. I was there on the night of the referendum, the vote which actually ratified the agreement. Again, an extraordinary thing to witness. For Northern Ireland, it's kind of Berlin Wall moments in a way. And there were some hairy moments too, because although the kind of bombings had stopped and a lot of the shootings had stopped, there was a lot of street violence still, a lot of rioting, where you'd be stood in what you thought was a puddle of water and suddenly your shoes would start melting and you realise actually you're in sulfuric acid, which had been thrown in bottles at the security forces.
Nick, when we think about struggles in hot areas around the planet where there is just, strife that seems to be impossible to overcome, we can think of Northern Ireland as a real success story. Is that grounds for hope in other areas?
I sense the dynamic there was that people had just got fed up of fighting and people had realised that the kind of paramilitary war that was going on there was kind of unwinnable and wasn't really going to change any sort of strategic dynamic. And so the leadership of the IRA at the time, the Republican militant movement, was starting to see the potential of the ballot box and things like that. And I think after almost 30 years of conflict, I mean, people were just fed up and wanted to try something else. And this political solution came along. And America was a key part of that.
Well, Ireland's ability to do that with some help from friendly nations is certainly, I think, gives us hope for other persistently troubled corners of the world. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Nick Bryant, who's written a book, Confessions from Correspondent Land, The Dangers and Delights of Life as a Foreign Correspondent. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Nicole's on the line in Dallas, Texas. Nicole, thanks for your call.
Hi there. I'm assuming that you are familiar with Chris Hedges' book from about 10 years ago about his experience as a war correspondent. And I know that in that book he compared war to a sort of narcotic addiction that journalists can succumb to. And I was wondering if you had any experiences where you felt that pull, or whether you were around other journalists who you thought were maybe behaving in ways that might be a little bit too risky for a sensible person.
Yeah, I think foreign correspondents often get mischaracterized in a way as adrenaline junkies and thrill seekers, and that we go to these far-flung and dangerous corners of the world to sort of satisfy this kind of desire, as you say, to experience war as a kind of drug. I've known colleagues like that. Often they're quite damaged people, and I've been in their midst. But I'd say the overwhelming majority are motivated by a totally different sort of approach, which is to go there to find out things, to find out information. And often, as I say, the most interesting parts of the world are the most dangerous. And because of that, you feel the need to go to them. But when I was in really dangerous situations, and I did think my life was in danger, and I've been in firefights and things like that, what struck me was the lack of sensation in a way. You were sort of so overwhelmed by emotions and experiences and fear that you felt almost a numbness. And it's only afterwards that you kind of decompress and you sort of sort out what you've been feeling.
So Nicole is referring to Chris Hedges. In an interview, he said, "I think war is a drug and maybe the supreme drug of human existence." You've been there on the front reporting all of this. What do you think about just our inability to get beyond war?
I've never regarded it as a drug, and I think that's a dangerous sort of approach, and I think that's a kind of dangerous thing to say in a way, because you start attracting people into the business who are motivated for the wrong reasons. As I say, people who want to experience that drug rather than go there to figure out what it is about the Middle East that's not working, what it is about Afghanistan that's given it such a troubled past, what it is about the Congo that makes it such a troubled country. It should be an intellectual and a journalistic lure that takes you to these countries, not a desire to experience the thrill. And I know people who do that, but I think the overwhelming majority of foreign correspondents are actually quite staid and quite sensible people, really, and in many ways quite risk averse. I mean, we obviously want to report future stories, so we're very careful in many instances where we go and what we do and who we speak to.
Nicole, thanks for your call. Nick, you've worked for years as a BBC correspondent. What does the BBC pride itself in?
I think it's our impartiality. I think it's our reach. I think it's the fact that we've got a footprint in so many countries around the world, and there is a depth of knowledge and a depth of expertise throughout the organization that we can call on, and also a local network. I mean, in Afghanistan, for instance, it's not just a correspondent in Kabul, it's a producer in Kabul who's lived the conflict. It's a network of local correspondents who speak the local languages and dialects who can tell us precisely what's going on. I mean, I've been a Washington correspondent. My academic background is in American politics. I've got a PhD in American politics. So the BBC does attract people who have a kind of deep-rooted commitment to covering the stories and hopefully an expertise and level of experience that they can bring to their reporting.
As a journalist, as a correspondent, what's your take on the impact of the quality of the news that shapes Americans' view of the world because it is commercial news from commercial news services?
What worries me, I guess, about the media landscape in America is that CNN's been squeezed in recent times by MSNBC and Fox, and it's partly because they have gone for this kind of impartiality and they don't tend to take a view on the news of the day. Fox and MSNBC obviously rely on a lot more commentary, and that worries me. I mean, and in terms of the networks as well, I mean, you've seen their footprint around the world be vastly reduced from what it was when I first started out 20 years ago as a journalist. You used to run into a lot of American correspondents who are actually based in countries. Now you tend to run into American correspondents who've just flown in. Many of them are experts. Many of them have fantastic expertise, but it's different when you fly in than when you're there based permanently. So, but I mean, these things are happening in Britain as well. I mean, there are obviously commercial demands. A lot of the stories that get on websites these days are sort of clickbait. You're trying to rev up your sort of readership online.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Nick Bryant. His book is Confessions from Correspondent Land, The Dangers and Delights of Life as a Foreign Correspondent. Nick, thanks so much and good luck with your work.
Rick, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Reporter Jake Warga tells us what Christmas is like embedded with the troops in Afghanistan. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.